studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Carolyn Murray.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Summit County recently established an annual fee of $36 for the management and disposal of residential and solid waste within the county.
And Tim Loveday is the superintendent of solid waste management for Summit County, and he joins us in the first part of the show to talk about why this fee is necessary and what it will be spent on.
We'll also talk about the ongoing work at the landfill to close out or cap the existing landfill cell, what regulatory requirements need to be met in order to do so properly, and how much room is left for all of tomorrow's trash. And believe me, in wealthy communities like Park City, we generate tons of trash every day.
Then, in the second part of the show, we'll chat with Mary Krista Smith of Summit Community Power Works and talk about how Summit County is doing with respect to the Georgetown University Energy Prize competition and what plans and programs SCPW has in store for the year 2017.
That's right, and we'll also talk about some environmental events that are scheduled during Sundance that SCPW will either be a part of or help host. It's all part of Sundance's emphasis on the climate and the environment at this year's festival.
And we don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments and questions to our Facebook page, KPCW, This Green Earth, our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Additional funding for programming is funded in part by Woodbury Jewelers. Same-day jewelry repair on Main Street. WoodburyJewelers.com. Summit Injury Law, Park City's personal injury law firm. SummitInjuryLawyers.com. Gorgoza Park, lift-serve tubing, mini snowmobile rides, and more. GorgozaPark.com. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
I'm Beth Lohman from Park City Mountain and supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain's Epic Promise grants and donations focus on youth programs and environmental initiatives that impact our local communities. Grants fund programs that are designed to help kids achieve in the classroom and develop an interest for the outdoors by engaging guests, local communities, and our employees. Information at epicpromise.com.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Across the board is Carolyn Murray. Joining me as co-host again this week. Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Joining me, Carolyn.
Happy to be here.
Yeah,
thank you.
And joining us in the studio is our first guest. He is Tim Loveday. He is the superintendent of solid waste, of all things solid waste, I guess, for Summit County. And he joins us to talk about a few things. Of course, we all know that it's been in the news that Summit County recently established a fee, an annual fee now that we each resident will pay for solid waste services here in the county. It's $36 for that fee. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, why it was established, what it's going to go to, et cetera. But we're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the landfill, why landfills are important for communities like ours, and how our landfill is doing and what the future of our landfill looks like. So lots to cover in the economic and technical and engineering and regulatory ends of landfills. Tim, thanks so much for joining us and hoping to answer all those questions.
Thank you.
Well, let's start a little bit about you. You've been in the landfill or solid waste business, let's say, for decades?
26 years.
26. Okay.
Yeah, I came out of college as an engineering geologist. Went to work on a Superfund site that was a landfill. Spent 10 years working on that, along with about 27 counties in Virginia. It was timing back there at the time. But the Subtitle D regulations from EPA had just come out, So Virginia mandated that all of their landfills be closed within 2 years if they were online, and new landfills be built. So I got to be in on the ground floor of Subtitle D being implemented out to the masses.
And Subtitle D was launched back when?
That was about 1993. The draft regs were out in 92. But prior to that, you could basically just dig a hole and put garbage in it and then cover that back over. After Subtitle D came out, that implemented landfills being lined with double liners, leachate collection, gas management, and a lot of protection for groundwater.
Right, and we can get a little more into the details behind that. So that's where you started, cut your teeth, so to speak, in the solid waste field, and then you came out west.
I did. It's one of those things. I came out west working on mine tailings projects for the U.S. Forest Service on their waste management contracts. And I was always a consultant up until a couple of years ago working on that side of the business. It's one of those deals, once you cross the Mississippi, it's kind of hard to go back. I fell in love with Utah and the Intermountain West, and we moved out here finally in 2004 and been here since.
Okay.
Great.
And then you just joined Summit County as their solid waste superintendent. When?
I did. I began in May. I just finished up my first 6 months with Summit County. Prior to that, I was working for Campbell County, Wyoming, on a big remediation project up there for their landfills.
Okay.
When you talk about remediation, like what would you have to be doing to remediate a landfill? What's happening there?
Well, we have some of that going on in Utah, but Wyoming's a little bit ahead of the curve there. We had 113 landfills over in Wyoming, and of those, about 80 are leaking to groundwater. That's how we determined that there was a problem. If there's groundwater contamination, then remediation's got to occur to mitigate that. And so the legislature there had to go in, and they ranked those 80 landfills on need for remediation, and they had to set aside funds from the state funds to come in and deal with that. They were operating with unlined landfills. They're running, you know, far behind the East Coast on the type of landfill because of the dry climate here in Utah and most of the Intermountain West. We were allowed to keep filling these old facilities that are unlined until we reach a closure elevation. Whereas back east, because of the wet climate, we weren't allowed to do that.
All right.
And what is a closure elevation? What does that mean?
That's the design capacity. That's where you need to get to have a minimum amount of slope to get water to run off and to put the cap on.
All right. So the landfill we have here, the Three Mile Canyon landfill, that's our primary landfill in this county.
That's our municipal solid waste landfill. All of our wet garbage goes to Three Mile Canyon.
Wet garbage, meaning everything that goes into, let's say, our trash cans and our dumpsters, et cetera, ends up there.
Everything except your construction and demolition debris.
Okay. And how much are we talking about on a daily basis?
Our tonnage continues to climb, and right now we're up to almost 200 tons a day.
200 tons per day. Every day. How many trucks is that?
That's a lot of trucks.
Okay.
Is that Saturday and Sunday too?
No, we're 6 days a week. Okay. We have some commercial come in on Saturday, a couple of trucks, but most of our garbage comes in Monday through Friday.
And is that higher than average compared to other communities?
Summit County is kind of an interesting situation. You know, on a national average, an individual resident produces just under a ton of garbage a year. However, in Summit County, due to the nature of us being a tourist-driven city here in Park City, we're running about 1.3 tons per person, and that's because of all the transient population that comes in and out of here.
Right. We're taking it basically account for all of the visitors that come in, generate their trash, and then leave. You know, so the numbers just... It means that we, on a per unit basis, we generate more. 1.3 tons, that's 2,600 pounds per year per person in this county.
It's incomprehensible to me. I don't understand what this is all about. It's incomprehensible when you have the kind
you
of...
You better comprehend
well,
it.
No, this garbage thing, it really gets me. We have curbside recycling. We have almost everything can go in that curbside, with the exception of bottles and batteries and, you know, a handful of other things that are then, you know, we're able to recycle in other locations like Recycle Utah.
Sure.
what could we possibly be putting in the landfill that's causing us to do 1.3 tons a year? I mean, I have weeks where I don't even put my garbage out because there isn't any garbage.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunately, as a county, we're not doing a very good job of recycling. When you look at diversion, you know, they call it recycling. I call it diversion because I'm more concerned with what's going into the landfill and not going into the landfill. But it's essentially the same thing. If you take all the commercial recycling and diversion that's going on in Summit County, along with the curbside collection, it only amounts to about 25% of our waste stream. Whereas a lot of the counties and cities on the West Coast that are more driven to this, they're up to 90% of diversion. Everything we can divert saves life on that landfill, saves the environment, and we're not wasting. I mean, when you throw something away that's recyclable, you're just wasting. We need to do a better job of recycling.
What does that look like? Does it mean more bins, more frequent pickups, more items taken?
First and foremost, I mean, our first line of defense on recycling is our curbside pickup. That everyone who's a resident has a bin there. We're not doing a good job there, and we're contaminating part of that recycle. So, you know, one of the things we're doing now is we're going through and putting decals on each of the recycle cans that will tell you what you can and cannot put into that commingled can. There are some things that are recyclable that unfortunately you can't put in that can because it's considered contamination. It just doesn't work with the mechanical sorting once we ship it to Salt Lake. If it's contaminated, it goes to the landfill. We can't include that in our recycle. Then we got to pay to get rid of it. So not a good situation there. But do a better job, each of us, on recycling in those commingled cans. And then the county as a whole is starting in January, we're doing a new solid waste management plan, and we're taking a hard look at the potential for us to do composting, to do cardboard collection, potentially have some collection sites, a lot of balls in the air that we're trying to put together and figure out a better way that we can divert more from this landfill.
And we have a lot of restaurants in this community, in city, county, et cetera. They generate a lot of organic-based waste, right? That ends up at the landfill.
It does.
Food waste.
And so there's an opportunity there.
There is. Food waste is a relatively new problem that we're tackling. You've got to have a compost facility in order to handle that food waste.
Right.
But food makes an excellent nutrient load to put in with your municipal waste to get that broken down. Most municipal waste simply just doesn't have enough nutrient in it to be able to compost. So you add sewage sludge or food waste or that type thing. Another one of those things that we're looking at.
So is there a day-in and day-out management of a landfill? Like you mentioned, adding sludge or waste of some kind to help break things down. And what happens out there every day?
Yeah, if we end up going down the composting route, which you'll see, we're really looking hard at that. You'll be looking at a situation where you're windrowing it, and it's got to be turned, it's got to be mixed. You got to balance the nutrient load. But the cool thing is, once you've done that, you get a product at the end that has a market value.
All right, we're speaking with Tim Loveday. He is the superintendent of solid waste for Summit County, and we're talking about the Summit County landfill. The operation of it, how much goes in it, 2,600 pounds per person per year. And how many people do we have in this county? Roughly 40,000 people. 40, so you do the numbers. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of waste that goes to this landfill. Now, let's circle back. You talked about Subtitle D regulations. We don't get too wonky about it, but basically it requires landfills to have those bottom liners, a plastic liner, or some type of system to capture leachate, the liquids that come, make their way through the landfill from precipitation, et cetera, requires to have a formal cap on top of it. So our landfill is unlined, and right now doesn't have a cap, or if previous cells don't have a cap, you are going to put a cap on the most recent cell that you're finishing up, but it's unlined. So any leachate that is formed in there will migrate down through the soil and it may get to the water table. Do you know how deep the water table is at the...
It varies across the site, but you're looking at about 60 feet.
60 feet down to get to the water table. And then that water table might eventually migrate due to, you know, hydraulic forces or so into the Rockport Reservoir. I don't want to be an alarmist about it, but that there's a connection there. So this is what we're trying to avoid going forward. We'll get to the future cell that you're planning in a minute, but you're planning to cap off the existing open face or cell that's being worked there, correctly?
That's correct. The first thing we're going to do is develop that new cell because we got to have a place to go. We're running out of space. But as we do that, we will section off the old landfill and start putting an engineered cap on that. And that'll mitigate any rainwater, surface water infiltrating into the garbage.
Because it's a plastic cap, in effect, or a clay-based cap that's very impermeable for water. Okay. So it seals it off. Will there be gas collection, too, of methane gas that's generated?
Methane is being generated. We are at a size right now where we're small enough that we're not required to manage that gas. However, we will eventually get to the point, and as regulations get tighter, we will probably have to manage that gas. In a situation such as Summit County having an older landfill, we don't have a gas collection system in there. So you're looking at ultimately having to drill vertical wells and put an extraction system in that way. And, you know, the good thing about that, if we ever have to go down that route, we can pull that to a central flare and burn that off so we don't get that greenhouse gas effect off that methane. Or, you know, if technology ever gets there where it's economically feasible, we can do something else with that methane, generate power or what have you.
Right. Okay, so that's kind of the future engineering that can go on there. You said the landfill is running out of space. When is the existing cell run out of space?
We're down to about 18 months of life left in our current cell.
Okay.
Are we digging a new cell pit?
We are. We're currently
a new hole. Are we digging a new hole now?
Yes. Summit County is actively excavating the next cell. There are six cells that are actually permitted for the future life of this landfill. Cell one, we've excavated a couple of 100,000 yards now. We got a couple of 100,000 more to go. We're trying to do as much of that as we can in-house. Fortunately, we've been lucky to get to have some access to the road and bridge crew. They've come out and helped us when their workload allowed. And then the landfill guys, when they can, they're excavating. So we're trying to save the county money there because we are an enterprise fund. We have to be self-sustaining. So by doing some in-house, we're saving a lot of cash in the end. That said, we'll get as far as we can by spring, but then this thing will be going out to bid, and whatever's left we'll have to pay to have excavated so that we can expedite this project.
How many acres needs excavating in order to be prepared for this next phase?
For the next phase, we're looking at 5 to 7, and this whole thing's going to give us, just in this next cell, we should gain somewhere in that 5 to 7 years of life. While the cell itself is not that big, because of the way it's oriented, we'll be able to fill it and to piggyback up on the old waste mass and gain a lot of volume that way.
All right. So we got a few more minutes. Let's talk about fee or the costs. So there's this $36 annual fee right now per resident. You run the numbers. That's $3 a month. That's a deal, Tim. Tell us why that's such a deal.
Well, that's the number the council came up with on this initial implementation of this fee structure. When you look at adjacent counties here, Ogden City's charging $231 a year. Cache County's $168. Provo City's $207. And even Wasatch County's at $144 with their new landfill. We're in a situation where we are an enterprise fund and we do have to be self-sustaining, and we're not. So what's happening now is that shortfall is pulled out of property taxes. It's out of the general fund, which means the county can't do other things that it normally would. By implementing the $36 fee, we're going to be able to put that cap on. We're going to be able to build that new cell that's necessary. We're looking at about $750,000 on this initial round to do this cell. So it's not cheap. Plus, we have the ongoing operational expense.
We were chatting earlier about the effects of a business versus a residence, and our businesses, you had mentioned that they deliver more generate more waste than
the
residents. Are they paying the same? Are they
fee?
Paying more? Is it different, structured differently? How does that work?
This fee only applies to residential properties, and it's And one of the mistakes we made as we moved this thing out is we tagged all residential properties. And if you have a residential property that you haven't built the structure on yet, you don't have to pay that fee. And mm-hmm. anyone who received a bill for a property like that that doesn't have a home on it, send that bill back to me at Public Works, and we'll go back through the assessor's office and verify no structures are there, and in which case you won't have to pay that fee. But this only applies to residents. Our collection contract only goes for residential properties. Commercials handled separately, and they contract directly with the hauler for that.
And who's the hauler?
They can pick whomever they want. I think right now the majority is being handled by Republic Services and ACE.
And then their fees are established with them independently on a contract.
They are, and okay. You know the commercial hauler will pick that up. They'll bring it to the landfill. You know they may have a per ton rate, and we weigh it there, and then charge back from that point, and then they go charge their client.
And just to kind of emphasize this fee, $3 per month. I compared that to some of my other utility bills and the fixed portions of my other utility bills. Now this is, you know, your mileage may vary depending on the size of your home, sorry, but this is what I pay for electricity. I have a base fee of $6 per month. For my water, I have a base fee of $45 per month. For my wastewater, it's $27 a month. And now we have a new stormwater fee. That's $11 a month. So Tim, $3 per month, 75 cents a week, a dime a day. You know, if you would ask me, Tim, I'd give you 15 cents a day, okay? So just think about that going forward. You have a lot of work to do. You have to build a whole new cell. You guys are trying to do it in-house as much as possible, and that's a great way, like you say, of saving money and getting ahead of the curve. But I know these fees, there's a potential that they may go up, and I think you have a lot of you have a good case to bump those fees up over time for all of the value you get. Now, last few minutes, regulatory oversight. Who comes to the landfill and kind of monitors or inspects the landfill to make sure it's meeting those state or federal regulations?
These landfills are permitted by the Utah Department of Environmental Quality, Solid Waste Division, and they come to the landfill, do annual inspections.
Annual inspections, so once a year?
Yes.
They tell you when they're coming?
No,
it's not a surprise.
No, it's a surprise.
It is a surprise. They can come at any time. Okay.
They can come in any time, and they can come more often than once a year. It's just a minimum requirement.
Right.
We've been fortunate. We've got a good crew in Summit County, and our inspections are very positive. We get some good feedback from the state. We make those changes. But the state has adopted Subtitle D from the EPA, and then they implement it here on the local level.
Okay.
We haven't talked much about food waste and where Utah, Summit County, where we sit in the scheme of things. I mean, I know there are cities that collect food waste on curbside. We're not even composting in this state. What does that involve and what would it take? Are we heading in that direction, especially with a community like ours where we must have food waste in the tonnage
sure.
You know, being dropped, what? Every day,
but
every day throughout the season.
But setting up a composting system at the landfill can be going to take up space. It's going to use labor. It's going to cost quite a bit of money to do.
There's literally, in this case and in most cases, there's no free lunch here.
Right.
If we set up a composting facility, it is going to cost. We're running numbers, trying to see if we can get that to be at least close to being self-sustainable. But it's a very complex operation. One of the big challenges that Summit County is going to have if we're ever going to do composting is we don't have enough green waste. We don't have enough nutrient load to be able to adequately compost.
Green waste, vegetation, tree limbs, leaves, or grass clippings, et cetera, that
right.
serve as a food source.
You've got to get to that critical mass where you have enough coming in, and then you got to bring the sewage in to get the nutrient load on top of that. You've got to be able to take in enough and produce enough in order to get the finances to balance out.
Right.
And we're a long ways from that now.
And end up with a product that can be used at a minimum, let's say for fill, topsoil or cover at the landfill, or maybe even become a commodity where some communities actually create a compost that they either give away or sell for a small fee or so.
Well, Tim, is it a ratio that you're talking about with green waste?
It is. And we just don't collect that much green waste. That's we need to be able to collect a lot more, chip it, and then that's when you can really start talking, you know, bringing in the sludge and all that. We have plenty of sewage sludge. That's a problem for them to get rid of.
Right.
But we don't have enough green waste to balance that out. So even if I started a compost operation, I can't take all of their sludge, which creates a problem for them because they need someplace that they can dispose of that every week. Mm. So big challenges to look at.
What is that challenge, and why don't we have enough green waste, and why do other communities around the country world have enough green waste?
In certain areas, you do. You know, unfortunately, we don't have that many trees. I mean, it looks green looking out the windows here, but Summit County is really not that green when it comes to vegetation.
It's a high desert environment.
Correct.
You know, whereas if you live back east, there's lots more
Seattle,
greenery. It's a lush,
Portland,
right? It's much more lush, and there's a lot more landscaping that goes on, which generates that green waste.
Mm-hmm.
So here, it's just. We just don't generate enough to serve as that organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have the added problem, too. Even if we come up with enough green waste and could get the sludge and start composting, you've got to have the land and the equipment to do it. I mean, we're not talking about something that smells really good here. So
that's another challenge, too, odor control, because there are residents nearby.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not going to be able to do that here in the valley.
Okay. One more from me, maybe Carolyn, you have another one, but I want to get back to the regulatory thing with our new administration coming on board next month. Do you see any changes in regulatory oversight, monitoring, regulations in general with respect to solid waste management?
I think on the solid waste end of things, that it's going to be pretty much status quo. It's just not the big focus target right now. There are regulations that just came in August from EPA that have to do with air. So that's tightening up quite a bit. That's not going to get reversed. The water and air are the two big things with landfills. Groundwater standards only get tighter. And with the Flint, Michigan issue and things like that, you're not going to see any administration, I think, back off on the groundwater standards. And then air is just a huge issue nationwide. They're really tightening the regulations there. So we're looking at tighter gas management, a lot more modeling of old landfills to see if they need to be brought into the whole management system or not.
So air quality issues around landfills are something significant? I mean, there are things that have to happen in order to monitor that?
They are. It's done based on the amount of tons in place now. But once you hit the threshold, you're looking at having to step up to an active management system, which means you've got to do something with that gas.
And right now, last thing, it just reminded me of a story when I visited there. There's not even a fence that goes all the way around the landfill, so you have critter problems. Deer come on the site, raccoons, et cetera. I think you told the story of a guy pushing some waste around and a dozen skunks or so came out of there.
Yeah, vector control is always...
That's what you like to call them.
That's the official name for the animals, if they're vectors. We have vector control is a big deal at our landfill. Raccoons, skunks. We have two cougars hanging out at the landfill now. They're coming through at night.
It's like a zoo there.
Yes.
Yeah. You charge
it
a fee for
like a watering hole
for come see a cougar.
Tanzania or whatever.
Well, really? There are two mountain lions in that area.
Two mountain lions that are patrolling.
Don't let the DWR know about that. They'll come and visit.
Well, they take care of the
unfortunately, no
other
one's
vector,
listening.
So it's not all bad.
Okay. All right. But that's just another part of that's the unique characteristic of landfills out west.
It
coyotes,
is.
Cougars. It's a whole biosystem out there. And you're trying to deal with it all, human and animals. Tim Loveday, hey, where can people go to learn more about, let's say, the landfill in general? Or you have a Facebook page? You should.
We do have a Facebook page, but summitcounty.org is the place to start. We have links from there, and our communications manager, Julie Booth, has also been working very hard on putting together a recycle page for Summit County, but you can link to everything through summitcounty.org.
That's, you know, I know it. We're going over, but that's a critical thing, too, because you get material there that can be reused. You know,
you get electronics
that come in that are still reusable, tires that are still, you don't want them in the landfill for reasons, but there are reusable materials. So if you had a Facebook page that somebody took a photo and posted, then people can see, oh, here's the latest deliveries to the landfill. I could use those tires, or there's some equipment I could use, right?
If you have
somebody who can manage it.
We have a reuse area now where we just have a flat $5 fee. If something's reusable, we put it up for sale for $5. And things, I mean, we have everything from flower vases to sets of tires and wheels that show up, and they disappear fairly quick.
Okay.
Good. We've looked at it, potentially expanding that in the future. It's just lower on the priority list now,
right,
because we have the construction issue ahead of us.
You got a lot going on.
Just one last thing. What would be the dollar amount to solve all of this, to optimize the space, to get a really effective recycling program that does work and that does keep that stuff out of the landfill? What are we looking at?
Well, that's part of what this new solid waste plan is going to look at, so we can put some real numbers to it. But, you know, by not putting a liner in our landfill, and if that thing starts leaking, we could easily hit, you know, $15, $20 million on a remediation project.
The consequences of not
just
doing
consequential
the right thing.
Yeah. $20 million.
Which all of us are from back east. Carol and I are both from New Jersey, and we grew up surrounded by landfills that became Superfund sites. And that's how we go all the way back to your first sentence, I think, that you said, that's where you started your work.
That's where
at
I
an
started.
Old landfill, which became a Superfund site. That's why we need good regulated landfills and engineered and designed landfills. That's why there's a fee. All right. Done.
We're done with that.
Tim Loveday from the Summit.
Thank you,
Summit
Tim.
County,
Thank
Superintendent
you.
Of Solid Waste. Thanks so much, and we'll have you back in a few more months. Maybe give us a periodic update on how things are going there.
Are there tours of the landfill? Can you get a tour?
All you have to do is contact me through Summit County Public Works.
Good.
I encourage people to come out to the landfill and take a look. It's a highly technical thing we have going on there, not just a hole, and be happy to give you a tour.
Oh, great. Fascinating place.
Fantastic.
Cougars.
Cougars.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Let's take a break for some underwriters, co-sponsors. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back with Mary Krista Smith from Summit Community Power Works.
Hi, this is Katie from Recycle Utah. Did you know Recycle Utah accepts white blocks of packing styrofoam? Please always recycle this non-biodegradable material at the recycling center. And if you are offered a styrofoam to-go container at a restaurant, politely decline it.
Recycle Utah is your local nonprofit recycling drop-off center, bringing water conservation ideas to you for now 25 years. We support KPCW and the idea of leading sustainable lives in Park City.
Buckle in for a night of soulful, bluesy American rock as the fabulous Thunderbirds roll into the Echo Center Thursday, December 29th. The down-home sound gets going at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, call 655-3114 or go to echocenter.org. Brought to you by the not-for-profit Park City Institute, entertaining, educating, and illuminating since 1998 and a KPCW supporter.
Support for KPCW comes from Crandall Capital with New Park Town Center. With urban amenities and services and home to restaurants, shops, entertainment, lodging, and residences. More information about New Park Town Center at 801-303-5440.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Chernia, Carolyn Murray across the board.
Morning, Chris.
And joining us in the studio is Mary Krista Smith. She is the project manager, program manager of the Summit Community Power Works, the nonprofit that's formed to pursue the $5 million Georgetown University Energy Prize, focused on energy efficiency. And she's here to give us a little update among other things, how things are going with the contest, maybe what we're going to be doing in 2017. But let's first start with Sundance. Sundance Film Festival coming to town, and there are actually some events. This year they have a particular emphasis on environmental films, climate-related documentaries. It's called the New Climate Program, and they're also going to have some events and some panels. And SCPW, I think, is going to be involved in one or two of those?
We are. We feel really fortunate and that this is perfect timing, frankly. Our Georgetown competition wraps up New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2016. So we've been hard at it for 2 years, and I'm so proud of what our...
3 years when you count the year we've spent...
Yeah, ramping up for it. But 2 years of data, yeah. And our community has just done a fantastic job of rising to the challenge and making huge changes. And it's a very synchronistic opportunity that this year Sundance has launched their new climate programmatic theme, and they've had a lot of submissions this year of climate-related films. And because of the work that Summit Community Power Works has been doing, as well as Park City Municipal's very aggressive energy and carbon-related goals, they have offered a couple of opportunities to showcase and spotlight our community work here in Summit County using the platform of Sundance. So we have two particular events upcoming. One is on Sunday, January 22nd, we will be holding a panel discussion. We're still in process of creating that. Mm-hmm. But some of the members of the Georgetown faculty are coming out to sit on that panel. And it's really an opportunity to showcase what has been happening around climate and energy in particular here in Park City and Summit County. And the theme is essentially community of action instead of getting into the doom and gloom. We see all of those doom and gloom films, but our panel discussion is focused on hope, possibility, and local action that we can take and have been taking to address climate change and resiliency and energy conservation, and really shifting the whole paradigm through efficiency and renewables away from fossil fuels. So we're excited for that panel discussion. And directly after our panel, Robert Redford and Al Gore will be a part of a panel at the Egyptian called The Power of Story, and we will live stream that into Basecamp. And Basecamp is open to the public, so we hope that people will come and enjoy and participate right here in the parking lot below KPCW,
right,
the Bob Wells Plaza.
That's Basecamp.
That's Basecamp.
So that's where your event's going to be held.
Yes, the first one.
And that's open to the public.
It is open to the public.
Okay. But you'll need a ticket or an invite.
We're
to
working
go
out
to,
those details.
To the one at the Egyptian.
Yes, to the Egyptian.
Okay. Is it just a walk-in for the one held at Bob Wells Plaza?
Yes, it is.
Just walk-in, okay.
Yes, but yeah, we are going to send out some special invites for our stakeholders and the community members who have done such an amazing job at participating with us and making those switches and those steps. We're going to send out some particular invitations, but the public is welcome at that event.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so this is a collaboration.
It is a collaboration.
What we in this community have been doing with respect to energy efficiency through the Summit Community Power Works, and what Sundance is attempting to do to bring greater awareness and education and hopefully activism on environmental activities.
And also what Park City Municipal has been doing with their very aggressive 2032 net zero carbon goals. And the aggressive stance of 100% renewable electricity by 2032. We have the most ambitious energy and carbon goals in North America, in the entire country. And so we truly have become a model for what is possible for the rest of the community, for the rest of the nation and the world.
And you add to that what Summit County is doing with their sustainability group with respect to their climate action plan and the goals they've set to reduce fossil fuel consumption. Now you have a whole entire county that is really engaged in trying to address carbon emissions.
I think this is one of the most interesting stories, and something we hope to highlight at Sundance, and we're so grateful to them for the platform, is that Summit County is a very unique microcosm of the world, and we have politically split between very conservative east side and very liberal west side of the county, and we have seen the earliest adoption of our programs in the east side of the county, and it comes from framing the work around efficiency, conservation, stewardship, self-reliance. And it's interesting because climate, to just use that word, can be so politically divisive. Mm-hmm. So our work with Summit Community PowerWorks, I am so proud of how inclusive we have been across the entire spectrum politically within the county, because we have not framed our work in terms of climate. We framed it in terms of economics, which is a language we all understand.
Mm-hmm. And independence.
Independence, right. Energy mm-hmm. freedom, and self-reliance.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. One other thing that we've done, and I'm also a part of the Summit Community PowerWorks executive committee, so been involved in this for since inception 2014. But the other thing we did that was really important, I think really showcases our kind of innovation, is the things that we've done in schools. And I think that needs to really be highlighted. The work we've done, not just in the classroom with our programs that you've put on and Carrie has put on, and Charlie Matthews have been put on, but also the changes that school administrations have embraced with respect to lighting and other energy efficiency appliances and adopting recycling programs and water conservation programs. All of that means energy, right? I mean, that to me is what is kind of, if we want to be innovative, but also at the same time replicable, so that other communities can do what we did. That's one thing we need to showcase, the work we've done in schools.
Is there another Georgetown competition out there waiting? I mean, is there a next level for us? Because obviously we're not done. This was a great springboard,
mm-hmm.
and we're moving towards 2032. We're on task, I presume, correct?
Well,
we're moving in the right direction.
We're moving
absolutely.
In that direction. So what's the next level?
Mm.
Well, you make a good point. What I hear from Georgetown is they are working on Georgetown Energy Prize number 2. And from what I hear through the grapevine, it will have a focus on water. So we'll see what comes out of Georgetown as in regards to their next level. And you both make an important point about the students and the young people, because this is a long-term change, and it's really about changing a mindset and elevating consciousness so that energy and the impacts of how much we're consuming are in consideration, whether the school district is building new buildings, remodeling buildings, what are the energy impacts of the choices that they're making, both short-term and long-term, and the students with that STEM-focused core curriculum that we have so gratefully been able to offer to every single elementary student in Summit County mm-hmm. over the last 2 years, North Summit, South Summit, and Park City School District. When the young people have that awareness in their minds, they absolutely harness their pester power and bring about a change within their own homes. So it is critical for that tracking for our 2032 goal that we continue to work with the schools and the students through curriculum and various programs to continue to bring energy into the conversation, both from a STEM and math and physics perspective, but also from a building design perspective.
And an art perspective, too.
And
we've incorporated art teachers we've worked with that have incorporated energy efficiency into their classroom.
And look at the projects that our school board is facing over the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, the teardown of a school. What does that entail, and what kind of an impact does that have? You know, the treasure teardown.
Sure,
it's going to happen.
And benefits.
It's not going to be reused, remodeled, reconstituted,
right.
or is it?
Waste,
or,
but what replaces it will hopefully be something that's much more energy efficient,
water
efficient.
Well, and the waste itself.
The waste. Tim will have to create a whole new landfill cell for that.
For treasure.
Right? You're back to, we'll
but
have
then,
to call
but
Tim.
But then the expansion of the high school, you know,
sure.
And what does all that
there,
mean?
But those are lots of opportunities to develop, design, build more energy efficient structures with respect to the electricity they use, the natural gas that they consume, because that's a big source of carbon emissions in this community, and perhaps even the fuel they use, et cetera. So yeah, future buildings need to be a lot more environmentally aware, energy efficient, and that's some of the other, maybe that's mm-hmm. part two also of Georgetown's program too, developing net zero buildings.
There are some wonderful models out there. One in Kentucky is the first net zero school, and it's amazing how they use the school as a classroom for the students, and they are all energy ambassadors and very aware of the building design and what it means for them. It's the difference between short-term costs and long-term costs. It tends to be more expensive to build a more efficient building and to incorporate solar panels, for example, on the building itself. But when you look at the long term, the payback is so worth it because you are freeing up future funds for teachers. They come out of maintenance and operations. So we will have some choices as a community to make. How much are we going to be willing to spend on these buildings? And there's a concept called value engineering, and mm-hmm. it seems like all of the efficiency components go straight out the window with value engineering because people want to bring that initial cost down. My hope is that our community, with elevating our awareness around the importance of energy and the long-term costs for those buildings, will ask for and support our school district in perhaps spending more in the beginning on the efficiency and renewable components for the long-term benefit. We have a tremendous opportunity, Carolyn, as you speak to, with the teardown and the redesign of the schools that is imminent to put our values into action within those buildings in regards to environment and sustainability.
We're speaking with Mary Krista Smith. She's the program manager with Summit Community Power Works, talking about the Georgetown University Energy Prize. Mary Krista, we got a few more minutes. You talked about how, you know, December 31st is actually the last day of what we call the metered part of the competition. Doesn't mean that everybody can just go around and turn all, keep on, throw all their lights on and their heat.
Or should
their
we
heat
turn them all off between now and the 31st?
Yes, turn them off.
Turn off the driveways. Turn off everything.
Exactly. But tell us what happens next in 2017. The competition isn't necessarily over per se. We still have some work to do in 2017. Do you have
a
schedule?
Our last submission of data will go to Georgetown on February 15th. We will write an initial report. 10 communities will be selected as finalists, and they will provide a much more in-depth report to Georgetown. And they are estimating that they will make the final determination around August of 2017. And in the meantime, we have a lot of work to do in our community, with our municipalities, with our schools, with residents, and also with businesses going forward to continue to educate, facilitate, and incentivize the adoption of efficiency and renewables countywide. Mm-hmm. And you're right, with Summit County's Climate Action Plan and their goals, and with Park City Municipal's net zero 2032 goals, we have tremendous opportunity to continue to facilitate the work in the community.
Okay.
Where are we now, percentage-wise?
We have seen approximately a 10% reduction over the course of 2 years across all meters. So we should really be proud of that. And in light of a 30% increase in business last year, according to the chamber, and we're on track to be 20% above that this year. So the fact that we are able to continue to reduce across meters in light of tremendous economic growth and visitors to our community, I think is a real testament to the work we've been doing.
Right, and just the number of people moving here, permanent people moving into the community, the number of meters goes up, and there's no doubt that
renting homes more.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've done, the community has done great work. And again, when we say community, we're talking about residential meters, municipality meters, and school district meters. They've all done wonderful jobs at reducing
and
the amount.
Commercial as well?
Not commercial.
Are we getting the same or no?
Commercial was not part of the Georgetown competition, but we really see the opportunity mm-hmm. to harness those meters going forward. So if we're going to make our climate action plan goals and our net zero goals, we're going to need to engage our business community. And it hasn't been a focus of Summit Community PowerWorks up until now because we weren't judged on that criteria, but going forward, we see it as a key component of our work.
Next steps, then.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's part of maybe the 2017 effort, because Summit Community PowerWorks is not going away.
We're not. As you know, Chris, we're formalizing our 501c3 nonprofit status. I want to give a shout out to the Park City Community Foundation, who has allowed us to be a fiscal sponsor of theirs, and it allowed us to just get off the ground and really put our mission into action. And now we're going through our formalization process, and we couldn't have done the work we've done as skillfully and efficiently as we have without their support. So thank you to Katie Wright and Jack Muller and the entire Community Foundation.
Right. A team effort. A couple more minutes.
Big can of worms, yes or no question. Is the state, or is it not, restricting our ability to accomplish these goals over the next 20 years?
Chris?
You know, I don't know if it's restrict, but they have some rules in place that kind of limit what towns can do on their own with respect to implementing their own ordinances or regulations. For example, building codes. You know, if Park City or Summit County wanted to adopt strict building codes that required, let's say, net zero buildings or higher insulation
ratings, or non-heated driveways.
Well, with respect to
that's another thing.
Okay. Yeah, but building codes, the state has a set of building codes that they follow, and municipalities can't be more stringent than them with respect to certain energy elements. So in that sense, there is some limitations on what the Summit County or Park City or other communities within Summit County would like to do. So yes, but by and large, I think the restrictions, we'll call them, are somewhat limited. Would you say so?
So state regulation compared to federal regulation is actually probably more stringent.
Can
really.
Be. Well, because it's a little behind the times.
Right.
They use a 2006 or 2011 international building codes, and here we are 2016, and there's 2016 building codes, which might have more opportunities for energy efficiency, but they still use 2011. We can't use anything more than that. Mm. Don't quote me on all that.
Okay.
But that's
we can request it. We just can't dictate that.
We got to wrap up.
Oh,
that's what we.
Done.
That's what we have
I
to
have
do.
So much I more I want to ask.
Well, we'll have her back. We'll have Mary Krista
I'd
back.
I'd love to be back.
Thanks again for joining us. Of course, it's scpw.org is the website to learn more. And of course, you'll be spreading the word in the next several weeks about these programs during Sundance.
Yes,
right?
Look for information during Sundance regarding their new climate program and our event on the 22nd. At Base Camp, and a big thank you to the community for rallying for the cause and making the switch. And I'm so proud of what we've accomplished in 2 years. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary Krista.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
The Vail Epic Promise Foundation is a proud supporter of KPCW. The foundation supports Vail Resorts employees in times of need and will help them pursue educational dreams. Information about the Epic Promise Foundation and what is available to Vail Resorts employees can be found at epicpromise.com.
This is Brenda with Republic Services, your local provider for recycling and garbage collection. Information about what is acceptable to put in your curbside recycling bin can be found at summitcountyrecycles.org. Please help Summit County be clean. Remember to recycle.
Rocky Mountain Power's proud